tonight. We are going to get started with the end. The end of our series, Politically Correct. And so if you've been here, which I think most of you have, at least for some of the series, we have been talking about this idea that a lot of things due to our culture are kind of off limits when we want to not offend anyone. But the conflict comes because some of the things that the Bible says are uncomfortable for us. They are difficult things and not necessarily what we would choose if we got to make up the rules. But since we don't get to make up the rules all the time, there needs to be an objective set of rules based on truth. And because there is a moral law, that means there must be a moral lawgiver. And if we are not good enough on our own to be the moral lawgiver, that means that we have to find someone who is. And what we talked about on our first couple weeks is that God is the only one who is worthy to be that moral lawgiver, the one who helps us to form a worldview, which, remember, is a collection of beliefs about life and the universe. It's held by an individual or a group. And this is really the way that you look at the world and you form opinions about things. It's how you make moral decisions. And so if you come to a point where you have a dilemma, where you have to make a choice between two things, how do you make the choice? Well, what we would say is we have to look to Scripture and look to make the choice that would bring God glory. And so tonight we are going to wrap up this series. We're going to finish by talking about a topic which has been in the news front and center for probably the last 2 to 3 years due to incidents, one of which was in Missouri. And at the time, I actually lived about 2.5 hours away from a small little suburb community outside of St. Louis that would become a household name called Ferguson. And you've probably heard about Michael Brown and how he was shot. And there was a lot of conflicting reports about, did he deserve it? What happened? Is the officer supposed to be in trouble? What's going on here? Is this an act of racism? Was he profiled somehow? What was going on? And so since then, this topic has just pretty much stayed at the front of the news. And that's important because, you know, we kind of think because it popped up and it stayed that this is almost like a new issue, but it really isn't. Racism isn't something that started a few years ago in Ferguson, Missouri, and it's not even something that happened back at the Civil Rights Movement, and that's when this whole thing started with Martin Luther King Jr. And it didn't even start before that at the Civil War when slavery was abolished. It also didn't start when the United States was founded, okay? There has been this idea which has its root in sin nature, and it has gone all the way back to the first couple of brothers, literally, Cain and Abel. And since then, there has been this hatred among men that we've been able to trace throughout history, where one has been against the other, or they've showed preference to people. And some people even look at the Old Testament and they say, well, look at this passage where God commands the Israelites to go and annihilate this people. man, God must be a racist then, because God, he seems to love the Jewish people, and then he hates everybody else, and he just tells the Jews to wipe out everyone else. The Jews are racist then. And this is actually like not that crazy an idea. This isn't like three people have this idea. This is like a lot of people actually look at Scripture and say, well, I can't worship a God who would allow for the genocide of an entire country based on their race. And so they have issues with Christianity due to that. But there's also all of these issues about slavery and how Jesus talks about a slave and his master. And man, is Jesus okay with slavery? Is Jesus okay with having people owning other people? What's going on there? And basically, we've come to have this clash of ideas of whether or not we are to value other people the same, or if there's some kind of way that we value some people more than others. And it even, you know, like we were talking about the bathrooms earlier, and somebody said, that's discrimination, okay? Well, that's a common view, is that if you allow men to do something and not women, well, that's discrimination. Well, if we allow women to do something that men can't do, is that discrimination? Okay, I mean, like for instance, ladies can go in the ladies' bathroom in here. If a guy goes in there when everybody's in here, well, that's a problem, okay? There is a level of discretion and almost discrimination, you could say, if you used the word correctly. Just like you would not accept a $5 bill to pay for a bill that costs $17, you would wait for somebody to give you a 20. Well, they're the same size. They have the same color ink on them and stuff. Why do you accept the 20? Well, the 20, okay, is appropriate for that situation. The 5 is not. The 5 is like a tip, you know? the 20 is what's appropriate for that situation. Well, how do we act when we talk about people and we look at values? Because, see, in that situation, a 5 has a different value than the 20 does, right? The 20 has 4 times as much value as the 5. And throughout history, there have been different ideas of what the value of a human person is. There was a time in our country where if you were a slave, you counted for a fraction of how much a free man was worth in voting. So if you were a free person, you went and voted, your vote was worth 1 vote. And if you were a slave, I think it was like 3/5 or something like that, right? Anybody learned about that in history? Okay, well, that's important, okay? It's important. This is, can you turn my mic down a little bit? It's channel 1. See, this is part of the reason why your schooling is supposed to educate you, is so that we don't go back and repeat the same problems over and over again. We don't have to figure out the Pythagorean theorem, because guess what? Pythagoras did it like 2,500 years ago, okay? We don't have to reinvent things just because we don't pay attention to what other people have done before us. Well, this idea of racial discrimination is very important, and it's not something that just crept up overnight a few years ago. It's been around, well, throughout all of human history, right? Okay, since God created people. So tonight, we're going to look at this issue. We're going to see a couple of things about human life. We talked about this last week about abortion, about euthanasia, about suicide, the value of life in those situations. Tonight we're going to talk about it not on whether a life or death is more valuable, but rather if we come in contact with someone, if we know about someone, if there's someone suffering, what is the deal there? What's our obligation? What do we do? What's the value of that other person versus someone who is like me? Okay. We're going to look at that tonight, And I think this is going to be very important as you go to school, as you mature and grow, to have many different opportunities throughout your life, because you're going to interact with people who are different than you. Okay, you're going to have an opportunity probably where you're going to be in a situation where you are the minority. And so when we think about, right now, we're a bunch of white people in here, right? Okay, we're all white, I think. I don't think anybody, somebody may have like a portion of something else, but primarily white. Well, what if we are immersed then into a culture of a place like China, where majority is highly Asian, or somewhere like Ethiopia, where everyone is African, they're black African, or in a Hispanic country like Cuba, okay? Well, guess what? Hopefully you'll have some opportunities to go to places like that. And so when Jesus talks about, do unto others as you would have them do to you, this is something that we can think about with that, is when I get to that situation, how would I want to be treated? How, what kinds of things would be obstacles that if I'm looking at someone else, I need to treat them in a way that I would also want to be treated, or the way that they would want to be treated in that situation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for the diverse ways that you have made us, with different interests, different hair color, eye color, skin color, different backgrounds, all of these different things that you have made us to be unique and individually special, that you've created each of us with a special purpose, and you've equipped us to be able to do that. And so, God, tonight, help us to have a better appreciation for how you've made us and for how you've made other people, God. We thank you for your word, and help us to learn from it tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this weekend, we were talking about all kinds of different things. Fruit of the Spirit was like the topic of the weekend, but we had lots of other side conversations, right? Anger, yeah, we had our breakouts. We talked about many different things. Well, one of the conversations I heard somebody talking about was about YouTube and who would be more famous or surpass the other person. And it was this whole discussion between if Jake Paul had more viewers or if it was PewDiePie, okay? And I was like, I know I've heard of PewDiePie before, but I couldn't like visualize in my head who it was. So I went on YouTube this week and I was like, all right, how do I even spell PewDiePie? This is like so weird. So I found it. I figured it out. I mean, YouTube was so helpful and he's so famous that all I had to do in the search bar was put P and it was like the first thing was PewDiePie. I was like, I guess that's how you spell it. Okay. So click on his profile and I mean, it brings up a ton of videos because he posts like multiple things every day, it seems. And some of them though were from like a month ago and more recent. And it was all this stuff. Okay. So it was all this stuff about how he had allegedly said the N-word on one of his video blogs and how he was in so much trouble with people who sponsor him, people that watch his videos and they were responding and saying how inappropriate it was. It's a huge deal. And whether or not he said it, though, it's still something that is like, man, it's very applicable even to the kinds of content that you guys are consuming, okay? It's not something that is just, this happens on an adult level, doesn't really matter for me. I'm sure that you guys get to see a level of racism and discrimination even within your own schools. based on maybe race, but maybe also what you're into. Are you a geek? Are you athletic? Are you a nerd? You know, are you popular? Who are you in the school? How do you fit in? How do you not fit in? And people treat you differently based on which segment you live in. Does that sound correct? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, because I was at like half of y'all's schools today. So, I was at my home. Okay, so that counts. I did not go to Williams today. All right, just a second, Ben. I didn't care at that point, like who had more views or not, but. So there's this whole deal about how we treat other people, okay? And we're going to look at this passage again for our last time in this series because it talks to the way that we need to change our mind about how we view other people even. Okay, let's read it out loud all together. So brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. So, when we talk about how we treat other people, there is a transformation that has to occur, okay? And this is our first point we're going to talk about. Racism comes from sin in our very nature. It is not merely learned behavior. I don't know if you've seen before. I didn't get the video for tonight, but I've seen several videos before of, you know, a white kid and a black kid playing together, and how they treat each other just like they would anybody else. I mean, white kid, same kind of attitude. White kid, same kind of attitude. Black kid, same kind of attitude. They just play together. They hang out. But at some point, there is this change that people observe where, well, now they treat each other differently, and there's a difference. And so people think that this behavior is a learned behavior, that people pick it up by what they observe other people doing. Well, all these white people hang out together, all those black people hang out together, all these Hispanic people hang out together. They don't really go together. Oh, I must not need to do that either. They treat it as if it's a learned behavior. The thing is that we can find across the world examples where people look alike, but there's some kind of division still there. One of the great examples in Africa in the early 90s or mid-90s was the genocide in Rwanda between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Two different people. That's the names of the people, just like Americans and Mexicans, okay? They were two different people groups, and they're the Hutus and the Tutsis, okay? I can remember that 15 years after I heard about this, okay? They were all black, even, okay? But here's the thing. They had a racial difference there, and they hated each other, and one of them killed millions of the others. You can go to places in Rwanda and just see piles of bodies of these people who were killed and burned, and their bones are just filling a room. And it's awful. Racism is a terrible thing, and it's not something that has to necessarily be learned, because what it really comes back to as its source is sin, and every single person is descended from Adam, and the Bible says through Adam all sinned. All of us have a sin nature, and so we don't have to learn how to lie. We don't have to learn how to deceive or steal or be angry at someone or hold a grudge. We also don't have to learn to discriminate against someone else based on something. We're comfortable with people who look like us, who act like us, who talk like us. I mean, I could take you guys and hang out with a bunch of my friends up in Pennsylvania who sound very different because they come from a Dutch background, and you guys would feel super uncomfortable just because they talk in a different way than you're used to and you're accustomed to. Okay, if you go out to the West Coast and we hung out with a bunch of white people on the beach, okay, and they were all surfer guys, they would have their own lingo. They would talk differently. You may feel uncomfortable because, you know, the guys are running around without a shirt all the time, and that's how they are, okay? It's a different kind of culture, even though the people look like us. See, we just have differences, and that's one of the beautiful things about how God has made us is we have differences. We're not all the exact same person just copied and pasted over and over like a billion iPhones or something that just they all are the exact same. There are millions of iPhones that if I took this screen cover off and the case off, you could find millions of iPhones that look exactly like this one, okay? But that's not how God created us. He didn't create us to be robots that would just be replicated over and over, but instead, he created us with individual aspects and attributes and characteristics that make us special and make us able to serve and worship him. And so those very things that God has created in us for his glory, we often change and we use as dividing points. And Satan wants us divided. You guys hear me right now? Satan wants us divided. He does not want a unified church that is all together and loves each other correctly and loves the world correctly. He will use division. He will use whatever he can in order to break us apart because he knows if we're united together, we can do a lot more than if we're broken up into all these different factions and different areas, and well, we don't like those people. We see this even within white churches. We'll see, oh, those people go to this kind of church. They must be like crazy weird or something. Those people believe in a slightly different thing about this or that. Whew, I'm not going to hang out with them. I can't do something with them because they're Methodist, okay, or something like that. Well, yeah, okay, we have differences in things that we believe that Scripture says, but we also have a lot of things that we believe in common. And so, you know, Satan would love for us to fight and argue about the 0.5% that we have different rather than agreeing on the 99.5% that we agree about, okay? So God has created us specially. But we have sin nature, which has come in and corrupted us and changed us away from that design, and it causes division. What's up, Blake?
I know what, you know what green room means in surfer lingo?
No.
It means when someone is surfing in the wave, when the wave is going on, surfing through it.
Okay.
Green room.
Nice. Because it's green, I'm guessing, right?
Something
like that. All right, open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So this is in the same letter Paul wrote to the Romans that we've been reading from for the last like 6 weeks on Wednesday nights. Romans chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 9 and read through 13. This is a great chapter, by the way, and I could say that about like pretty much every chapter in Romans because it's just so rich and so good. There's so much to, we could do a teaching series on Romans and it would take like multiple years probably to get through all of it to be able to teach you. And some of it would just be over your head because you'd be like, what are you talking about? What sanctification, justification, what is all this? Let's look at Romans chapter 10 though. This is a neat passage. He's talking about how the gospel, okay, the good news about Christ, which we need to know and trust in order to be saved. He's talking about who is it for, okay? Starting in verse 9, Paul writes, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. What was the first word in that quote?
Everyone.
Okay. I had a professor in college. His name was Dr. Fink. He was about 85 years old. He used overhead projector with like little clear, you guys know what I'm talking about at all? It has like a light that shines up and like little clear plastic that you have printed, or like his were all hand drawn, and then it reflects off of this mirror onto the wall. And so he used that. He was like super old school. But Dr. Fink taught my inductive Bible study class. And this is the one for you guys that I told. We took 3 John, which is like 15 verses, and I made a 44-page paper out of it because that's what we did all semester long, and mine was like shorter than most of the class, okay? He had something great about this right here. He said, if you look in the book of First Fink, which is his name, okay? First Fink, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, all means all, and that's all means. Got it? All right, everybody say it together. All means all, that's all means. Okay? All means all, that's all means. And so he would say this every other class, so like 2 or 3 times a week, we would have this all means all, that's all means. When he says everyone, everyone means everyone, that's all everyone means, right? Okay? He says everyone, everyone, every single person who believes in him will not be put to shame. And so how would someone be put to shame? By not believing, by not placing their faith in Christ. They would be put to shame by being separated from God forever in hell. Okay, but verse 12, it says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. Here's that word, all. Bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For, and then he quotes here, and if you look, you may have something in your Bible, like a little letter right there next to that quote. Go down to the bottom, you can see, this is from Joel chapter 2. He's quoting and he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a lot of inclusion there, right? Inclusion means included, right? Okay, he's including everyone, all who believe, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that is the only distinction that he's saying there is. Now, there's a problem that he's addressing here, okay? And this went back to the Old Testament where they had this idea that, you know, God specially chose Abraham as our, you know, forefather who would be this great nation. And he chose Abraham, so we're so special because we're chosen. Yes, that's true, but God could have chosen anybody, right? God could have chosen anybody that would have obeyed and followed what he told them, but the Jews felt like they were so special, and they missed out on this idea that God blessed them so that they could go and be a blessing to the nations. See, God was using them as the vessel to pour out the blessing because Christ had to come through some nation. And so guess what? God said, I'm going to set up the Jewish people. He's going to be the one that the Messiah comes through and is a blessing to all the nations, that all might be saved through faith in him. Well, the Jews took it to mean that, like, we're better than everybody else in the world. We are God's chosen special people, the ones he loves. We're so good. Like, Gentiles, y'all get out of here. God doesn't love you. God loves us. See, they took it to make this division where instead of calling people and saying, look who God is. Look how great he is. Look how much he loves us. Instead, they said, look how great God is. Look how much he loves us. Instead of us. The Jews made it about themselves. And so Paul here is addressing this idea that it's not just salvation for the Jews, but rather that Christ has come that all might be saved. So the Jews here, they had an issue with that Latin phrase that we talked about last week. Anybody remember what that Latin phrase was that I taught you guys last week? Started with an I, it was two words. Imago Dei. Imago Dei. Anybody remember what it means? Image of God. There you go, pulling out the Latin, okay? Image, imago, okay, it's like the same word except for one letter. And Dei, like deity, okay, it's spelled very similar. The image of God. This idea that in Genesis, God creates man in his own image, that we are image bearers of God, that we can declare the glory of God to all of creation. So the problem the Jews had is they did not have a good imago Dei of anyone who was not Jewish. They thought all the Gentiles out there, they must have some kind of inferior view of who God is. I got a video for us of a pastor named Matt Chandler. He's going to share a little bit, real quickly, about this idea of Imago Dei.
When you hear about racism, usually you're going to hear a lot of other terms kind of attached to it, like systemic injustice. You're going to hear calls for education reform. I don't want to say that those things aren't true and that they don't need to be addressed, but I do want to point out that I think that those are symptomatic of really a greater issue. And so really, for just a minute or two here, I want to just kind of say that I believe that one of the things the church could do that would give us really a head start on tackling the mess that we see out there right now is a robust understanding of what we mean when we talk about the Imago Dei, or being made in the image of God. So what we believe as Christians, because we believe what the Bible teaches, it is that all humankind is made in the image of God. We have a higher value than anything in all of creation, and all of humankind is made equal in dignity, value, and worth. And so when we would kind of grab hold of that vision of humankind and live in such a way that we're showing in how we live our lives, in our friendships, and who we're having around our dinner table, and what we're striving to help our churches look like, images and mirrors the intuitive or intrinsic value of all humankind, right? Rather, color, gender, we're showing. No. God values this. God loves this. When we can do that, have a robust understanding and practice of the Imago Dei, I think the church becomes really something the world can look at as a solution to its ills around racism and the brokenness that exists between the ethnicities.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says this, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Paul wrote that as well, and what he's saying here is there's no difference in the value of a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free, a man or a woman. There is equal value across all, because when we are baptized into Christ, when we place our faith in Christ, hey guys, can we not, all right? Don't be a jerk, all right? Nope, all right? When we place our faith in Christ, he makes all of us co-heirs with Christ. we all become the children of God. We all have this relationship with God because of that faith that changes and transforms us. There's no need for us to feel superior to others. We don't get to take that and say, I'm a child of God, you aren't. Okay, it's not something we get to rub in other people's face. It's not something that we get to walk around with as if, you know, now I'm better than everyone because I have Jesus. No, Jesus says if you want to be the greatest, you have to become the least. You want to become the first in the kingdom of God, become a servant. He showed us this as an example when the night before he would die on the cross, he washes his disciples' feet, which was an act that should have been done by a slave in that culture. He lowered and humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. And he said, this is the kind of attitude you need to have. Not one that is prideful, but one that is humble. And so when we have Christ in us, we don't hold that over people as if we're better than them because we're the children of God. It doesn't make us greater in that way. It makes us able to serve them and to love them the right way. It's not our own doing that has done this. Instead, it's what Christ has done, that he has made us the children of God. See, the world says that, you know, this idea that we're taught to have a prejudice against someone else, okay? But here's the truth. We all have sin, which causes us to wrongly view each other. And this has so many different implications. Guys, we could talk about this for months, about why and how we wrongly view each other. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep it simple and try and do it just tonight. We're going to start a new teaching series in a couple weeks, which will be pretty neat. But here's the thing. Because we have sin, okay, we have this distorted, corrupted view of other people. And so we don't love others the way that we're supposed to, even if we want to, okay? Me and Mr. Rob were talking about how even in marriage, okay, you love your spouse, but it's still difficult at times to show them the kind of love that you would want to at other times, okay? It's hard, okay? If we didn't have sin, it'd be easy. It'd be like piece of cake. I can love my spouse perfectly. But there's difficulty, okay? And there's difficulty even for you guys. If you have friends that you have a disagreement with, well, in that moment, you're angry with them. You may get in a fight over it. You may call each other names or something like that, or be unkind to them. Even though you're friends, okay, you may have a time where you don't love that person the way that you should. You allow some kind of division to come in. Well, we have these things because of sin. One of the ways that I wanted to make you guys aware of tonight as we were talking about racial discrimination was the whole idea of slavery. A lot of times we think that slavery, you know, was abolished after the Civil War. Then we had the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, which brought about a lot of fixes for issues that were systemic, you know, that they would have a white people laundromat and a black people laundromat, and that they would have a white people, you know, water fountain and a colored people is what they would say for anybody who wasn't white. And there was this huge divide. Well, the civil rights movement helped to correct a lot of the problems there, but for us to think that slavery has ended is incorrect. Globally, slavery and human trafficking is a huge issue. About 4 miles from here, there is a huge intersection where I-20 and I-95 run into each other. Okay, up there by like Home Depot and the mall right there, you know, where that big intersection is, okay? I-20 runs, like, all the way to the West Coast. It is a huge interstate. I-95 runs up and down the East Coast, okay? So that intersection basically gives you a nice way to be able to get all the way from, like, Miami up to, like, New York, Boston, that kind of thing, or from Florence all the way across the country. You can get to Atlanta, Birmingham, Dallas. You can, I mean, keep going. This area right here probably has a lot of human trafficking in it. Atlanta, Georgia is a huge hub of human trafficking. Hundreds of people every month go through Atlanta, Georgia, trafficked, that like we're able to track and then free and things like that. People devalue humans. I have some information I wanted to show you guys that it's not just a racial thing. It's just a problem where we do not value others the way that we should. Look at some of these statistics here. The average price of a slave in 2013, like globally, was somewhere between $90 and $100. $90 to $100 is what some people think the value of someone's life is. Now, you have to remember that, I mean, in some places, people are willing to pay much more for them, which means, you know, if you know how averages work, that there's a lot of people who pay a lot less than that average as well. Estimated there are 20 to 30 million slaves globally today. There are more slaves currently on the planet than at any other point in history. Crazy. Check this out. It is the third largest international crime industry. You know what the first two are? Drugs and weapons. Drugs and weapons are the only international crime divisions which are larger than human trafficking. $33 billion a year industry. People do it because they think, well, there's a low chance of me being caught doing this, and there's a high reward. I can get paid a ton of money for doing it. And so if you don't care about, you know, if this person ever sees their family again or how they're treated, if you don't have a right view that this person is created in the image of God, well then, who cares? If they're just here by random chance, like we talked about earlier in our series, that, you know, evolution just created people after, you know, pond scum and this and that and another, and then finally we get humans after millions of years. If you think that that's how it happened, well, you shouldn't have an issue with selling people and how they get treated and things like that. I saw one thing. They were talking about how you get rich doing this, and basically one of the things that they said was you can buy someone for a certain price. You can sell their body to people, either through forced labor or relations or whatever, and then you can actually sell that person for more. Okay, check this out, because, you know, initially that person puts up a fight and they don't want to do this, and so they fight against it. Eventually, though, their spirit is just broken. Just like if you ever saw a movie where they had a wild horse and finally they break its spirit and it'll cooperate. Well, in a similar way, a person will fight and fight and fight, and eventually they'll just give in. At that point, they're worth more to sell off, so, you know, you can sell them now for more because the next person won't have to deal with all that. And so people make tons of money off of this because they do not value people. They don't value people. And you may be saying, well, I would never do that. But here's the thing. What is your plan for how to look into that situation and go, something needs to change there? Because I think we would all agree something needs to change there, right? Yeah? Something needs to change. We know the truth. There are people who are against human trafficking that aren't even believers. We have the truth. We know that they're made in the image of God, that Christ came down from heaven and died on a cross to save these people as well as us from sin, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And guys, we have the Holy Spirit in us, like we talked about this weekend. We have the Holy Spirit in us who has power, who can change our desires and give us the ability to do things and call to our mind the things that we need to do. You guys, the least that we can do. I mean, we can at least spend time praying for these people, because every single one of us is equipped to be able to do it. It's not like you have to get some kind of training. You have to, you know, get a shotgun, track down somebody who's doing this, and, you know, blast into their house and free people, okay? You can do that as a profession. There's people who do that, okay? And that's awesome. But every single one of us can go home tonight and get on our knees and say, God, help me to be used to set people free, to show them love. Whether that person is in my school, whether that person is in someone's cellar or in the back of a pickup truck or whatever the case is, God, help me to love people well. God, work in a way to set people free. Because your word says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And I've been set free from the bondage of sin in my life, and there are people who need something that's not even as big as that. Sin is a bigger bondage for people. There are more people in the world that are enslaved to sin because that's our default. We all have that slavery. Billions of people on earth are enslaved to sin. And they need that gospel. They need the good news of Christ. Because we can speak into something that, yeah, guess what? Human trafficking, totally terrible. We need to work on it. We need to empower people to go in and set people free. But if we just set them free and then they live for the rest of their life on earth and then die and still go to hell, well, great. Now, for eternity, they spend forever separated from God, when we could have shared the gospel with them, given them the thing that they would have the opportunity to be saved from that slavery and the bondage and set free forever. And how many of those opportunities do we have every day? You have opportunities every day to tell people about Christ, to set them free from a spiritual bondage, to show them that they are made in the image of God, that they are of equal value to you, whether they are a man, a woman, a child, a black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. That every single person has the opportunity to know Christ. We have the ability to tell them. And one day, the Bible says in Revelation 7, says one day in heaven, there's going to be people from every single country and nation and tribe, and all of these people will be there to worship God. See, God doesn't have some kind of favorites. He doesn't play that game. He loves every single person. He desires for them to know him. And so we have the obligation to go and tell them this great news. I want to read for you a passage from the book of Micah in the Old Testament. What up? Micah in the Old Testament. This is a great passage. If you'll flip with me, go to Micah chapter 6. Micah's kind of a relatively smaller book in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. There's a guy you may have heard of. He's a singer, songwriter. His name's Stephen Curtis Chapman. He wrote a song a long time ago, and it had this verse as an inspiration for the bridge of that song. Look at this. In verse 8, he says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Does anybody else have a different translation than what I just read right there? I was in the ESV. Anybody have like a NLT or something? Mr. Rob, what does yours say there? A really easy way to understand that right there. Love what is right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. If you want action steps for this week, I have some others, but that verse really sums up our attitude toward this. Our attitude is to do justice, to do what is right, do the right thing. To show kindness, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I mentioned, our next teaching series, that's basically what it's going to be around, is this walking with God. The idea of the relationship God desires for us is not for us just to walk down the aisle once, pray, and then, well, now I'm saved, so I can either do whatever I want to, or I can just be a good person, go to church, sing a song, and that's what God wants. No, God wants to have a relationship where we walk humbly with Him, where we learn what is right, and we learn to love it, and to do that, and to not be able to stand for the things, there are injustices in this world. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of talk now about social justice and making sure, everybody has justice and things like that. Well, here's the thing. Justice on its own can be terrifying because every single one of us has sinned. And so God, if He just wanted to be just toward us, well, guess what? Our just reward would be separation from Him forever because we're sinful people. And so we would all just be destined for hell. But one of the amazing things about God is that He is full of mercy. And so He tells us to love mercy, to be merciful to others, because it reflects who He is. And He gives mercy to us where, yeah, we deserved separation forever, but God, in His mercy, does not give us that. Instead, He placed the punishment on Jesus. And when Christ died, He took that punishment that we deserve so that now that relationship with God can be restored. And that's an amazing hope for us. And that's an amazing hope for the world. And so whether we are dealing with an issue like racism, whether we're dealing with an issue like human trafficking, these issues come back to loving justice, loving mercy, walking humbly with God. So we treat others the right way. Here's a couple of action steps for us. Seek to understand the situation others are in. Try to, talk talk to people. What is it like being different than me? What is it like? Find out. Talk to them. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Seek to understand them. A lot of times we just want to know, here's facts about this person, instead of understanding, what is it like for this person? How can I empathize with them where I truly care for them? Okay? The next thing is to bring awareness to any injustices you observe or that you're aware of. Some of you may have never heard of human trafficking before tonight. And so now, maybe you're interested to find out, well, what is that? How can I help fight that? Okay? There are different ways that you can do that, ways that you can support different organizations that help to set people free. I have a friend who has worked in Thailand where it's just crazy rampant in that country. And so she has gone and worked with organizations that go and help set girls free out of human trafficking situations. Bring awareness to it, though. Talk to people about it. Let's make this something where people are realizing, man, it's not just because of black and white, brown, this, that, or the other. There's just problems with our world that need to be fixed and solved, and that the solution is knowing Christ. And then to love others well. When we treat others the way we would want to be treated, when we treat them with mercy, by walking humbly with God, by treating them justly, and we can love others. We can show them what Christ has done in us and what he wants to do in them as well. So tonight, we have a few questions in your student guide if you look. I want to remind you, okay, this is a good opportunity for you. When you look at them, we do not have journey groups on Sunday night, but there are opportunities here for you to talk with your parents, for you to talk with each other, because I know several of you, you know, go to school together, things like that. Well, sit together and talk about these things and bring in another friend that may not be here tonight and talk with them and let them know about this. Okay? Think through these ideas. We're about to close out, and I know we've got a couple of parents that are starting to pull in, but I want you to think about, how can the way that I treat others show them the gospel? How can I walk with the Lord in a daily relationship where I know him and I'm known by him, and I share that love with others and share what can ultimately free them for eternity? The gospel. Okay, let's pray. God, tonight, help us to understand better the way that you have created each of us, that you love us, and that you want us to be free to have that relationship with you forever. And you want that for everyone who will call on your name, who will believe and trust in you. Help us to be the vessels to go into the world with this good news and share it with others in our words and in our actions as well. We love you, God. We praise you for your great. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.